Thank you, Danny.
Or 8:45.
How are you guys? You doing well? Good to see you. And good to worship with you. Wow. There you go. And places with our music. What's going on, man? It's all to the tune. And we've got singers and fantastic. No longer the Arabic translated songs, eh? We've moved on. That's fantastic. Great to be with you. Let me tell you what I'm hoping to do tonight as I've been thinking through. Those guys down the back, do you want to come a little bit closer? I promise it'll be... You girls, come a little closer. Because I'm actually going to sit down. I'm standing up just for a few minutes, but I'm going to sit down, so I'm not going to see you. Okay. I have to do something a little different today. I have to talk at you for about 10 minutes. Then I hope to engage with you in some sort of a question response sort of time. So I'm going to give you an opportunity. Yeah, I'm going to give you an opportunity to ask questions. Because you know what happens, and this is a very Egyptian thing. We talk. Thank you so much, Dan. We talk at people all the time. And guess what? Educationally speaking, we remember 20% of what's being said after how long, do you reckon? We remember 20% of something that we heard after how long? Anybody want to have a guess?
24
hours. Sorry?
24 hours.
72 hours. You remember only 20% of whatever you heard after 72 hours. And what happens to the other 80%? Gone. See you later. But when we engage in two-way conversation, you'll get, first of all, what you want rather than what I want. Yeah, I'm not in your world. I don't know what's going on in your life. So, I think some of you may be embarrassed to ask questions, so we might find some paper somewhere, if we could. But they're the consent forms, mate. You can't get rid of them. You'll have absolutely nothing after that. So maybe someone will find some paper for us. So if you want to write something, oh, look at that. And how much are you going to... Oh, this is very funky. How much are you going to charge us for that? All right. I'm going to just hope that if you've got a question that you don't want to answer, that you will write it down. Other than that, if you don't have any questions, well, I'm going to have to find something to say to you after the 10 minutes. So I'll bluff around for another 10 minutes, and then we off we go. What I'm hoping to... this was wonderful, Daniel. God's timing. I'm going to pray about that because it actually triggered something in my mind. So it's going to be in the back of my mind whilst I'm talking to you, and I'm talking to you. I'm not really here because I'm thinking about something else that God said to me through Daniel. So I'm going to stop for a sec and just I would pray. And if you'd like to listen, that would be fantastic. Father, thank you that you have the whole universe in your hands. Thank you that you have your timing over every single thing in our lives. Thank you that you are our dad. You're not just the creator of the universe. You're not some weed power. You're our dad. And tonight, Lord, I trust you. I trust you. I trust you with your time. And I ask for my brothers and sisters tonight, Lord Jesus, that they would also trust you. Because you care for us. It's written, Almighty God, that cast all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. Renew our vision and our trust of your care, my dad. That we would love you back, not because we have to, not because we're told so, but because your love overwhelms us. Speak to us, I pray, in the name of Jesus. Amen. What I hope to remind you of tonight, they gave lollies and things like that all the time. They missed out. In fact, there was a car for those who came early. Is that right? Was that
not
a car?
Not a car.
No, not a car. Not a real one anyway. I might be popping up earlier just for that random thing. What I want to discuss with you a little bit tonight is the whole concept of what's our potential? Yeah? If you were a young fella in Egypt, you had two options. So how many people here were brought up in Egypt? Put your hand up if you were brought up. Okay, this guy's going to testify to me. When you're growing up, you had two options for your possibility, your future. Yeah? The first one was to be muhandis, an engineer. So you're either an engineer or Mish Muhandis to be a doctor. It's Muhandis or Mish Muhandis, one or the other, to be a doctor or to be an engineer. You didn't have an option. That's your parents' desire for you to be either Muhandis or Mish Muhandis. Muhandis or a doctor, yeah? So everybody that dreamt of anything else, they were second class, yeah? But regardless of what expectations were upon you, nobody could ever stop you from dreaming when you were young. I was so dumb. We had like some weird green colored walls. That's my goodness. The person that painted our house green should be in prison. Because I still wake up at night like that. There's green colors everywhere in the back of my mind. Like ugly green. Like not nice green. Like he must have had some sort of a nightmare before he painted our flat. And it was all stupid green sort of, you know what I mean? Green, crazy colored bedroom. But I used to dream that I'm a teacher. So I would get those chalk. You, it's not in your lifetime, yeah? Chalk, you know? You know chalk? Okay. I used to get those different colored chalk and I would write on a wall. Man, I created textbooks in my bedroom. You know, they're still using that in university. And I was still 5 years old. And I would write mathematical problems. I don't know what the heck I was writing. I was writing something. And I was putting kids in detention. You know, sending kids to prison. You know, I was doing all sorts of power. Yeah. You know, the funny thing is I ended up being a teacher. Fancy that. Sometimes you dream something, not that I care, but you end up being that thing. And what is your dream today? I don't mean just your dream in life. What is your potential as a child of God? What do you aspire to be? What do you hope you could be? More importantly, what do you reckon God's dream for you? Because I tell you that. If God was to sleep, he'll have a little bit of a dream about you and me. A little bit of a glimpse of your future. A little bit of a glimpse of your future. None of us is just a number. It says, oh, this kid, you know, he's a wog. Don't worry about him. We're not going to dream about him. He just can't speak English. Right? There's no such thing, yeah? This kid is a little bit hyper. Forget about him. He's too much for hard work. No, that's not true. God has a dream. If he closes his eyes, if God was to sleep at night, he would dream about you. He would have a dream for your future. What do you reckon that dream might be? I'm going to ask you to turn to the person next to you, and you turn to the person next to you as well. Just have a nice conversation. and just try for a couple of minutes to share, what do you reckon God's little dream of you and of your future, yeah? I'm going to give you a couple of minutes to do that. Go ahead. Now, you seriously can't turn to someone else. Don't be by yourself. What's your... Who's that? Who's not allowed to talk?
Rana.
Rana is not allowed to talk. Oh, you're not allowed to talk. Are you allowed to play the guitar then?
She started at 8 o'clock so that she could do worship with us. And so she started just an hour later. Yeah, just an hour later.
It's going to be a very
long-sided
conversation.
She's got to have paper if you want to talk.
Consent
forms! This is going to be Zachariah and angel. Angel sort of, hey, you can listen. You both can talk together. She can just listen for a while. Yeah. Gee, I want to do that too. I might start my family now. What would God's dream for your life might be? Anyone that wanna share something that they heard? You can't share anything, that's what else. We miss out? Yeah? Who would love to share something? Must have been a lot of conversation about football. Who's a Collingwood supporter here? Any Collingwood supporters here? Steph?
Nah.
Nah, alright. Good. Any Carlton supporters?
Oh, you'll be too embarrassed to say anyway.
Yeah. All right. Anything that you heard that makes sense? What would God's dream be for your life, your future? Because he does have a dream to tell you that. What might it be?
Our group here was talking about kind of serving him and kind of making a change for him and his name.
Awesome. Thank you for sharing. What else? What might God's dream be for you?
Say, like serving God as well, but through medicine?
Yeah.
Or dentistry or something?
Absolutely.
Like, something to glorify him.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Mish Mohandas. I reckon God loves Mohandas more than Mish Mohandas. I tried to do engineering for one semester and I thought, God, you know, if God created that subject, I'm not following him. No, I'm not. Yeah. Good, what else? Gonna be a tough gig tonight, Daniel. Nobody's talking. Everybody's on 40-hour fans. You might have to get into speech pathology, mate, and help these kids out.
Well, our group was talking about also, like, it's interesting that we're talking about God's timing in the start, what Daniel was saying. And also Daniel said that serving God through whatever situation you're put in,
mm-hmm.
regardless of the circumstances. Like,
awesome. One more, come on, one more.
Thriving relationship with him.
Brilliant. Okay, can we get Psalm 92? I want to read you a couple of verses from Psalm 92, and let's try to figure out what does God have in mind for you and I. It says, the righteous, that's you and I, person that accepted the right standing that we have with God through Jesus Christ. That's why you get to be called righteous, not because you've done something awesome. It's just because Jesus died on your behalf and lived a perfect life, so that now you are considered to be righteous because of Jesus. Look at that. What does God have in mind for us? The righteous will flourish like a palm tree. They will grow like a cedar of Lebanon. Planted in the house of the Lord, they will flourish in the courts of our God. They will still bear fruit in old age. They will stay fresh and green, proclaiming, the Lord is upright, He is my rock, and there is no wickedness in Him. What do you reckon? It says the righteous will flourish, the righteous will grow. Well, what do you reckon God's desire for you and I? What do you think from that verse there? Not that you've joined the greener, the greeny political party, no. What's His desire, do you think?
To flourish.
Flourish? Awesome. What does flourish mean? Okay, I figured you guys, you get embarrassed. Turn to the person next to you and tell them, what does flourish mean? Not in Egyptian, in English, right? Okay, turn to the person next to you and tell them, what could flourish, the word flourish mean? Come on. Because it's a really nice word, isn't it? All of a sudden, we've got noise in the room. This is going to drive me nuts, man. All right, awesome. I could hear already the people talking good, awesome definitions. To thrive, to grow, to blossom. The word is actually means to reach your full potential. To reach an unbelievable... And you know why he symbolizes our growth and our potential to a palm tree? Does anybody know? That's a bit of a hard question, but does anybody know why he symbolizes our growth, our flourishing, our potential, our possibility, like a palm tree? Do anybody want to have a guess? I can hear you saying something.
I'm just having a guess.
Yeah, please. I promise I'm not like the Egyptian teachers that smack you with the ruler if you didn't get it right or wrong.
I was probably wrong, but is it because palm trees bend in the wind instead of breaking?
Awesome. So what does that make them?
Flexible.
Flexible. Strong. Beautiful. Strong. Resilient. Absolutely. What else? When you look at, you know, at a palm tree, what comes to your mind as soon as you see a palm tree? Big. Huge. Right? Huge, right? Isn't it? If it's huge for us, in the days where the Israelites read this, palm trees and cedar of Lebanon, the trees were the most massive trees they were associated with, they were accustomed to. Do you know that? They were the most magnificent trees that they were accustomed to. So let's think of a company that is really funky, great, massive, huge organization at the moment. What would you call it? Huh? Google. Google, absolutely. Google is big. What else?
Nike.
Huh? Sorry?
Nike.
Nike, of course. Mr. Ronaldo would think of Nike. What else? What else is big, big organization that everybody knows it? Apple, yeah. So yeah. Imagine God was saying, I believe that your growth is like going to be like Google. It's going to be like Apple. It's going to be like Nike. Yeah. What do you think when God says that? If God was talking that language, what do you think? You're going to start thinking, wow, He really thinks I'm something. Imagine God says, you're going to be like Steve Jobs one day, man. You're gonna reimagine technology. So He thinks I'm it in a bit, really. That's what the people that read this psalm believed, that God thought so highly of their potential. So big. And you know that cedar of Lebanon? is actually mentioned in the Song of Solomon. Who knows Song of Solomon? It's a book in the Bible. It's not on the radio. It's a book in the Bible. And it actually says that the beloved is like cedar of Lebanon. It's unbelievable. That beloved is usually represents Jesus, and the church is the bride, is the church, you and I. And it says that the groom is like cedar of Lebanon. You know what God is saying? God is saying, I imagine your growth to be so amazing that you would look just like Jesus. That's big. That's big. I wish I could yell this out to every Christian in the entire universe. Because you know what absolutely breaks my heart? It's not that people don't know Jesus. That troubles me, but doesn't break my heart. You know what breaks my heart? It's Christians that come, or non-believers that come to know Jesus, or people that grow up in a Christian environment and haven't grasped their potential yet. It's like having a royal family and you're living like an idiot, a pooper. You're living like a beggar. You're running in the streets in France asking for $2, you know, of the tourist or whatever. Yeah? So what are you doing? You're like in the royal family, can ask for anything. Why are you living like an idiot? Because they haven't grasped the vision of who they really are and what their potential is. You know why you're struggling spiritually? You know why you and I don't grow? It's not because we're not doing hard enough work. It's not because we're not motivated enough. It's not because we're slack. It's not because we're lazy. It's not because we don't want to. Simply don't know who the heck God thinks of you. Because God thinks so incredibly highly of your potential. When God dreams at night and looks at you, he sees it's Jesus. That's how freaky it is. He sees the character and competence of Jesus manifested in you. He doesn't see an idiot going around eating with the prodigal sons the food of the pigs. He doesn't see that in you. He doesn't see you going around struggling to pray. Oh yeah, I've got to go to prayer now. I've got to push through. He doesn't see that. He sees your potential as somebody so intimate with God, just like Jesus was with the Father. He sees somebody that is so incredibly selfless in his relationship with people that people want to eat you up. He sees somebody that's so pure internally that sin doesn't even find a place in their heart. He sees somebody that is so sacrificial and purposeful in the world that they change history altogether. You know our problem is, friends? Not that we need more information. You don't need any more preaching gigs. All you need is a glimpse of what God has in mind for you. God sees you as Jesus. Full stop. You look at Romans 8:28 and 29 that we always talk about, you know, God does all things for good. We'll have to, you know, rattle that stuff out. You know, all things work out together for good. You know, no, it's fantastic. It's like almost like a genie sort of approach. But everything works out for good for a purpose. You know what that purpose is? Is that you become more like Jesus. That's the whole context of Romans chapter 8. God wants you to believe that you've got the DNA and the resources to live a life that's just exactly like Jesus. That's why in 1 Peter and 2 Peter chapter 1 it talks about that you've been given the divine nature, you've given the DNA of Jesus into your life, and then after that it said, then put every effort that you be such and such and such and such. And the whole characteristics after that. But you got to understand that when God dreams at night, he doesn't see you struggling. He doesn't see you just, you know, pushing through. He doesn't see you better than the person next to you. He doesn't see all that rubbish. He sees you in your future, just like Jesus. So, I've been teaching in the church for the past few weeks about the different areas that you need to grow in. And we'll put that in a little cross. I'm going to give you the same material that I've given. It's a little card that shows the cross, the different areas of development. If we're going to be more like Jesus, there's a little cross there that speaks of the different areas that we will grow in. So I'm going to pass on those cards. Forgive me that the back of it is actually it's something from our church, but I really wanted to give you that cross with you before we finish tonight. And I'm gonna take you to Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, please, if we can get that. And we're gonna read a couple of verses so you can see that cross there as the areas of your development. As the areas of your development. So, who's gonna read the first couple of verses out loud? Nice and loud. Who's gonna do that? Not Rana. Somebody else. What's your name?
Fedi.
Come on, man. Just do it for us. The first couple of verses. Nice and loud.
As for other matters, brothers and sisters, we instructed you how to live in order to please God, as in fact you are living. Now we ask you and urge you in the Lord Jesus to do this more and more.
Okay, listen. That's the first one. I want you to think about the word more and... Come and say it with me, come on. So I don't get upset with you guys when I'm going home, because I get nightmares when I get upset. Come on, say it with me. More and Rana, come on. This is away from the whatever thing that you're doing, the famine. Say more and more. Come on, say it together.
More and more.
Say one more time.
More and more.
One more time.
More and more.
You know what God is saying? Saying here is the relationship with God. It's saying, I know where you're at. I want you to go more and more. I know that you are with me, that you're already relating to me, that you're already pleasing me, but I want you to go to the next level. Because the bigger level is Jesus, yeah? So he wants you to go more and more. What's your next step? Where can you begin to put some goals so that your relationship with God now will go more and more tomorrow? So the first thing that we see here in pleasing God, that it's an area of development. He says more and more. Pleasing God more and more. Relating to God more and more. Intimacy with God more and more. Yeah? That's the first area where you develop. Okay. Next to Fadi, who do we have? Shadi? No, not Shadi.
Matthew.
Come on, man. Matthew, what sort of a name is Matthew? Matta, Faru, Mahmoud. I can say Keda, like Matthew. That's Aussie, man. Shouldn't be here. All right. Read us starting from verse 3, right?
Verse 3.
Yeah, but ongoing for a while. And it felt like a little bit extra tonight. All right, go ahead.
Will that you should be sanctified, that you should avoid sexual immorality, that each of you should learn to control your own body in a way that is holy and honorable.
Awesome. Shad, the next one, man. Verse 5.
Not in passionate lust like the pagans who do not know God, and that in this matter no one should wrong or take advantage of a brother or sister. The Lord will punish all those who commit such sins, as we told you and warned you before. For God did not call us to be impure, but to live a holy life. Therefore, anyone who rejects this instruction does not reject a human being, but God, the very God who gives you His Holy Spirit.
Awesome. The next verse, Rana, please. No, I'm joking. Okay, that's good. What area do you reckon these few verses speak of? What is it talking about here? What do you reckon? What is it talking about? Lead what type of life?
Holy life.
Holy life? What else? What else has been spoken in there?
Pure
life? Yeah? That speaks of the inner life. Because nobody can see whether you're pure or not, right? Nobody can see whether you're holy or not. That's something in the inner life, yeah? You can act so beautiful but do stuff or think stuff or view stuff that is not holy or pure, yeah? You can fantasize and nobody would know what the heck is going on in your brain. That's your inner life. So the second area of growth, say with me, it's inner life, yeah? That's your character. Say it together. Inner?
Life.
One more time.
Inner life.
One more time.
Inner life.
One more time.
Inner life.
So the first thing we talked about is what? The first area of growth is? That's the second area. But thank you. But that's awesome. Okay, so we've been freed from the second area. So what's the first area? The top of the cross?
Relationship.
Relationship. Okay? So relationship with God, then inner life. Awesome. Who's Rana Yikandu? What's your name?
Mirella.
Sorry?
Mirella.
Mirella?
Yeah.
The Egyptian? No. Mirella. The Medalla Egyptian. That's it. Yeah, I said, Hakkalam Kahalasa. Nafisa. I'm going to say, Zainab. I'm going to say, Mikahkaha. It's very Australian. What's going on, man? Okay. Can you read us? Start. Hey, Abni, the senior sort of writing, huh? It's 200, zooming 200, or the able zopter. Yalla dihum, yalla, mish mushkila. All right, can you read us verse 9 and 10, please?
Now about your love for one another, we do not need to write to you, for you yourselves have been taught by God to love each other. And in fact, you do love all of God's family throughout Macedonia. Yeah, we urge you, brothers and sisters, to do some more, so more and more.
Awesome. Thank you. Okay, say with me, what do you reckon I'm going to ask you to repeat?
More and more.
Ah, you got it. Yeah, the Egyptian, they're like, halawa, I tell you. Yeah, and they're like, you're like, what do you say? Jesus? لا أخويا more and more. في حاجة تانية نقولها إلا more and more. أنتوا فهلويين ولا بلازين. أيوة كده. لكن ميريندا دي ايه دي جاي منين ده خالص امبورتنت احنا عايزين حاجه زينب كده ولا حاجه ما يعني حاجه كده بلاق الدخروت اورايت سو مور اند مور وات اريا يو ريكن شوف الناس بتضحك علينا يا اخويا هنعمل ايه بقى يلا وات يو ريكن وات از ذيس اريا ويتش اريا از ذيس ان ذا كروس ها ويتش اريا اوف ديفلوبمنت از هي توكينج اباوت Relationship with people, طبعا. It says love one another. لكن مش بس love one another. طب ما احنا بن love one another يا اخوي. يقول لك لا more and more. غتاتة بقى. يعني ايوه you're loving لكن حبة كمان. Yeah? Because sometimes we just say, I'm doing alright man. Chill out. You know? I'm tolerating my brother and sister in Jesus. Yeah, you do a little bit more. Do a little bit more. What's your next level? I had the guts, okay, maybe next time tolerate them. Okay, I'll tolerate them. How about you can collaborate with them? Okay, I'll collaborate. How about you serve them? All right, I'll serve them. How about you be selfless with them? Man, you're not going to finish off because you've got the standard Jesus. What did he do with his people? He says, there's no love like this that someone would lay down his life for his friends. So the standards are so high, but it's not a. If you haven't got that standard yet, do a little bit more than what you're doing now, huh? Just grow a little bit more, yeah? All right, we're up to you now. You don't want to, the person next to you doesn't like, she's doing fam. What about you? Huh? Okay, thank you. Put it for him 300. As in the
So
10? 11 back. Wow. Tries to repeat, yeah? All right.
And to make it your ambition to lead a quiet life, mind your own business and work with your hands, just as we told you, so that your daily life may win the respect of outsiders, and so that you will not be dependent on anybody.
Awesome. Thank you. What's your name?
Andrew.
Andrew?
Yeah.
Thank you. What do you reckon? What area is he talking about here that we need to grow in? Huh? Look at the very end here. It says, so that your daily life may what? Huh? Come on, mate. Win the respect of who? The outside, what is the outsiders? Not the people down there. What's the outsiders is he talking about?
The world.
People who don't know Jesus. So what do you reckon? Which part of the cross is this one?
Mission
in the world, huh? Can you see the different areas of the cross? We need to be holistic people that put some goals. Just like you need to put some goals in order to finish your 12 well or finish whatever year you're in or get into your next career move. Or you need to put some goals. You got to put some goals in those areas. Yeah? If you're going to grow, you need to put some goals on those areas. Okay, I'm done. And you know what? I realized early on that you guys are going to be too embarrassed for the questions. Well, I'm sure if anybody that's writing any questions is going to be a pretty challenging time. So I've got 10 minutes only now. You can ask anything you want. I'll leave you a few minutes to think about a question that you might want to ask. Maybe share with the person next to you so you're not too embarrassed. And I'm going to ask you, what did the person next to you say? So if it's a silly question, you've got no problem. You blame them, yeah? So how about you share, think for a minute or so about any question that you want answered, and then we might want to share with the person next to you, yeah? So just I'll give you a minute first individually, think of a question that you might want answered, yeah?
We only have a couple of phones going around.
Yeah, if you want.
Why don't you just put your number up and then
okay.
Put your
number up.
Text your question. Text your question. Ya halawa, look at the technology, ya habib. Don't text me, and I arif al
you can check my number up.
Who wants the phone?
Somebody got called internationally, mate.
My question is there such a thing as God's exact plan for your life? Like, or is it just like, you know, pick whatever you want and God will support you through whatever you picked? Or is it like God has a better plan than what you have?
Awesome. What does everybody think? A couple of people to share ideas. Because I'm not like the fountain of knowledge and wisdom. They'll be disappointed. Yes, please. What's your name?
Sarah.
Sarah, you have an electronic hand.
Sarah, that was your problem, and I think the answer is both.
Yeah, talk to us.
I think that some people, God has a very specific destiny.
Yeah.
He'll let them know what that is.
Yeah.
But for most people, he gives us his commission in the New Testament, and that's for everybody. So.
Yeah, what is that commission?
To go forth and make disciples.
Yeah, awesome. Very good. What else? Anybody else got something to share? Isn't that nice that we help each other think through things, yeah? Because all of us are always better than any of us. You know that? All of us are always better than any of us. Nobody has got the wisdom that we have in a group of that size. Nobody by themselves has the wisdom that equates to that. All of us are better than any of us, yeah? Anybody else wants to share? Huh? We've got what?
Some texted
Yeah, all right. But let me finish that question first. Anybody else wants to answer that question? What is God's plan? Is it specific? Is it generic? All right. Let me tell you something. I'll give you an example so you can come up with the conclusion yourself. What's the human being growth plan? Like when we think of a human being and we think of their growth, of their future. Is everybody unique, or are we all the same in your growth? Huh?
Everyone's unique.
Or everyone in?
Unique.
Everyone is unique. All right. So how come sometimes we say that the abnormal growth? Why is it abnormal? If everybody is unique, then nothing is abnormal, right? Is that true? But we say sometimes that growth is abnormal. It's not a normal growth. You know why? Because there is generic growth, there is uniqueness in our growth. Yeah. So that generically, you know, when you're, I don't know, you can help me. When they 2 years old or something, they have to be starting walking or something like 12, that.
12 to 15 months.
12 to 15. You start, if you're 12 and 15 months, and you're not walking, they start worrying about you. But what sort of walk do you have? Some kids walk like that, and some kids walk like Egyptians, yeah? So you can walk in whichever way, but at 12 to 15, yeah, I have problem with my memory, yeah? But 12 to 15 months, you got to start walking. How do you walk without care? Hopefully you walk on two legs, that would be nice, yeah? But so there is generic stages of growth, generic plan for your growth, yeah? But there's always uniqueness. So I believe that there is this thing here, this piece of the cross, the shape of the cross, that's your generic plan, God's generic plan for your life, that you have a great relationship with God, great relationship with other people, in a life that's pure, effective life in the world, regardless of what it might be, in which Mohandas or Mohandas, whatever it might be, as long as you're honoring God in what you're doing. So I think there's a generic plan for us to be more like Jesus. That shows itself in specific. So if you're an introvert and you sit calmly all the time and you're in a 40-hour famine every single day of your life, that's still okay, yeah? If you're an extrovert and you're jumping off the chandeliers, that's still okay, as long as you're not hurting anybody in the process, yeah? So we have our personalities, we have our upbringing, we have our gifting, we have our dream, we have those things that makes us energetic and so on. So we have designed something called, pardon the pun, we have put together a document called Your Design to figure out your dream, to figure out your energy, to figure out your skills, to figure out your ideals, which is your values that are guiding you, to figure out your nature, what sort of type of personality you are, to figure out your grounding, which is experiences of life, what happened to you and what came out of it. Like if you're a hopeless academic person, you shouldn't be really trying to become a doctor because you're going to fail. You got to figure out what are you good at, and you do that. Like my son is trying to be Mr. Ronaldo. Good luck to him. Yeah, I'm gonna help him out. But you know, you got to work within your limitation. Yeah. True. So there is generic and there is specific. As long as we walk with God, God would reveal our specific plan, but it never revealed completely at once. It's one step at a time. As long as you're following the generic growth, then God might, you know, hone different things for you to be more like Jesus. But it's always, after all, God's ultimate plan for you, uniquely and specifically, is that you be more like Jesus. Okay, let's go here. How do you make people in the world respect you when it comes to God? How do you make people in the world respect you? Okay, let's forget that people in the world respect you about God. Just respect in general. How do you earn the respect of somebody in anything that you do? What happens for you to earn the respect of somebody? What happens that we would earn respect? Anybody's respected in their class? Anybody respected in their football club or whatever club? Bless you. Anybody respected in an environment? You would know what made you respected. Forget the God bit of it.
You're saying that respect comes from either admiration or fear?
Sorry?
You're saying that respect either comes from admiration or fear?
Yeah. Yeah, that's very, very good. Admiration or fear. You know, you can put a gun next to somebody to respect you. That's pretty superficial respect, yeah? But admiration. Let me tell you this. Respects come from integrity. Integrity comes from consistency. That's as simple as that comes. Respect comes from integrity. Integrity comes from consistency. If you consistently do the same thing that you've promised you would do, if you consistently, you know, people sometimes walk with us and find that they're on eggshells. Why? Because one day I'm freaking out, the next day I'm really happy. It's like, mate, just show us what's going on exactly. Let me know what's going on in your life. Help me to understand that if I do this, you're going to respond to it in the same way all the time. Respect comes from integrity. Integrity comes from consistency. Consistently being who you really are from the inside. I think that's if you live the way that you live with integrity, not trying to build a reputation, but you live who you are, be who you are, I think respect is earned over a long period of time of consistency. The next one, and probably the last one, God says, ask and you'll receive. So why is it that that's rarely seen? So basically the question is asking, how does God respond to us? Yeah? Does anybody want to say that before we finish off? Does anybody want to attempt to answer that? Because God says, you know, ask and you'll receive. How come we don't receive sometimes?
I can answer that for... Go back to that podcast, whoever asked that, because it was covered very well, I think, as well. But for me personally, a personal experience was I've been asking for something, and if God wants you to have it, it will happen, and that's happened to me. I've asked for something, and I had the response the next day, or maybe within the next few hours, I had that response. And then sometimes I would ask for something, and I'd wait, and nothing would happen. So it really depends on God's timing for you. If God can see it will benefit you and not harm you, then it will happen.
Awesome. Very, very, very well said. Very, very well said. Okay. Let me tell you. God responds in three ways. Yes? No? Not now. Yes? No? Not now. Doesn't mean when he says that ask and I'll receive, like it's like a vending machine. Put the $2 in, you'll have a can of Coke. It doesn't work that way. Yeah? He's your dad. He will respond to you. What you're assured of is his response. What that response is basically based on your daddy's best wisdom. Yeah? Yes? Go ahead. No? No, it's not good for you, mate. I have Karen, my little son, ask for some weird things at times. I say no, not because I hate his guts, it's because I love him to bits. I love him so much that I don't mind if he's get upset with me. That's true love. When you care about somebody enough that even if they get upset with you, you're willing to do the best thing by them. That's the greatest love. And then, not now, not the right time, not now, the timing thing, yeah? But I'll tell you something that you really need to put in your mind just before I finish off now. Whenever you ask, you have to remember that God is all loving. He has your best interest at heart. God is all powerful. He can do anything that he sees best for you. But God is also all wise. What's best for you? He will differentiate between what's okay and what's great for you. Yeah? And if you want to live a life that honors him, yeah? If you abide in his word, if you want to live a life consumed by God, I can tell you that whatever you ask, you will receive. If you are absolutely consumed with God, if God's intentions and heart and purposes are your heart purposes, you ask anything in John 15 and you will receive it. You know what? You're only asking God's will. Because you're consumed by God. You're consumed by his thoughts. You're consumed by his desires. You're consumed by his approach to life. And if you go tonight and ask, Lord, please help me to serve this person to the best of my capacity. They don't deserve it, but I just want to bless their socks off. What do you reckon God is going to say? Nah, wait. No, maybe. Yeah? Go walk around Jericho seven times. He's going, baby, if you want to be selfless and sacrificial, I'm going to give you every power to be. Because I want you to be like Jesus has already agreed to. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this wonderful, wonderful group of friends that we've met with tonight. And I just pray in the name of Jesus that you've encouraged them. That they would even be prompted with this handout, maybe in a year from now. Say, how do I grow and be more like Jesus? And that you would communicate with them the five areas in which they can set some goals and be more and more. Never to settle for mediocre. Never to settle for what they've already achieved. But to always seek to be more like Jesus. Because you promised that you would make us more like Jesus. That we'll grow from glory to glory, from strength to strength. And I pray that you'll empower us by your Spirit, Almighty God, that we would do what no human being can. That is to love beyond measure, to live selflessly, to live sacrificially, to live for a purpose that's beyond our own selfish desires, and Father, to live a pure life from the inside out. And I pray in all our endeavors, may we be consumed by the power and the awesome admiration of our amazing Father. We love you, we respect you, we honor you, and I pray that your blessings and your favor and your strength will be upon your people. In the name of Jesus, I pray. God speak with us today. Amen.
Amen.